Our text verse tonight is Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 8, and I'll read it. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. There's one more hint of a serpent in our text, and on the last verse that we read, in verse 11, surely the serpent will bite. And there's two times in four verses where God says a snake will bite. And when does He say that? And I believe our text tonight teaches us some truths here, not just about snakes. If I use the Bible to define what God is talking about here, I can take the word serpent and look it up first. Where is it mentioned first? And you can learn a lot in your Bible by the law of first mention. Look where God uses the word the first time. That word serpent is used for the first time in Genesis chapter 3, when it said, "The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he, the serpent, said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said." I don't think anybody would argue that the first time God used the word serpent is in reference to Satan in the Bible. Then when I read Revelation 12, verse 9, it says, "The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan." Then when I read Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, "And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil." That's enough for me. Three strikes, you're out of there. That means the word serpent, I have no problem tying it to our text in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 8. "Whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him." I believe God wants to teach us some things tonight about Satan and his tactics. The devil is wise and powerful. But praise the Lord, he's not all-powerful and all-wise and all-knowing like Jehovah God. He is not God's equal. He is a created being. There is a spirit world that you and I cannot see. There is a spirit world. If our eyes could be opened to the spirit world and what is actually happening between the angels and between the demons and the forces of evil, I really believe it would terrify you if you could actually see it. Hollywood has done such a good job of numbing us to the spirit world and aliens. And there's no such thing as aliens. They're all demons. You understand? It's demonic activity. They want you to think they're from another planet. But there are demons work every day. God's Word tells us that Satan is a very real enemy. Very real. And he wants to deceive and destroy every child of God. Let me just lay a foundation. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." You have somebody who's out to destroy you. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober." That means keep your head screwed on straight. Don't let your emotions run your life. Use Bible principles and think. Get the Word of God in your mind and make your decisions by biblical principle, not by how you feel. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Satan's twofold work is he has two jobs. Number one, his first job is deception. He deceives. His specialty is getting you see things that aren't there. His specialty is smoke screens. You ever been in a mirror house where your perception is off and you can't tell? You know, and then it'll make you think that you're in a slanted room and really you're not. It's called a mirror house. You ever been in one of those? They're optical illusions. That's the devil's specialty. His deception hinders the gospel and it keeps people from salvation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The accusation, so the devil has a twofold job. Number one, it is to deceive and destroy God's children. Number two, the accusations of Satan sow discord between the believers and the Lord. Proverbs 6 says, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him." And in verse 19, if you skip down, he says, "He that soweth discord among brethren." How does Satan do that? By false accusation. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is the key to misunderstandings. Well, I thought so-and-so meant this. How did that get misconstrued? How did that rumor get started? Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Boy, how did that come out of that? Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And that accusing sows discord among the brethren. So you have to be very careful. Just know who's behind it. Tonight, I want you to see something. And take your Bible now and go to Job chapter 1. Whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. What hedge are you talking about? Well, if we know that the serpent is Satan, we know that the serpent, Satan, can bite if the hedge is destroyed. What hedge are we talking about? Once again, let's use our Bible. Let's go to the first place it's mentioned and look at the time here. Look at Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. Verse 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord, let me check my laptop, let me go and check this. He didn't say that, did he? He already knew. He already knew about Job. Watch this. Satan said, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Then look at verse 10. Hast not thou made a hedge about him and his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Satan told the Lord that there was a threefold hedge around Job. He said, I can't get to him, I can't get to his family, and I can't get to any of his possessions. How did Satan know that? Because he'd already tried. He'd already run into it. And his main complaint and his main gripe against God is, you put a hedge around Job and I can't touch him. Threefold. Him, his family, and his possessions could not be touched by Satan. Satan had tried to destroy Job and he couldn't get to him. God put that hedge around Job because he loved Job. And tonight, I'd like you to know God loves you just like he loved Job. Amen? That's good. God also has put hedges in your life to protect you spiritually from Satan. Tonight's message is stay in the hedge. Don't take the hedge away that God has given you that keeps Satan away from you. Stay in the hedge. Stay in God's hedge. And I want to point out to you one of the hedges. Take your Bible now and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And look at verse 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians 11, 3 through 4. And I'm watching the time. I know that we're coming close here, but let's. I believe I can go through this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse number 3. Let's look at one of the hedges. 1 Corinthians 11, 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. When God uses the same word three times in one verse, it is never for filler. It is always for emphasis. Think of repetition in the Bible as a volume knob. The more God repeats it, the more God is turning up the volume. The more He says, I don't want you to miss this. The head of the woman is the man, the head of the man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. Before I tell you what this is talking about, let me tell you what it's not talking about. This is not teaching equality. This is not teaching equality. This is teaching headship. In other words, this is not teaching that the woman is not equal to the man or whatever. This is talking about headship. You say, clarify that. I think when I married up. I got a better wife than I deserve. Amen? God gave me someone who was better than me, and I'm thankful for that. But she still, I am still her head. I am still her authority. I am still that. This is not teaching an inferiority. This is not teaching that the woman is inferior to the man, who's inferior to Christ. Christ isn't inferior to God. You can't apply that the whole way. While Jesus was here on this earth, he submitted to the authority of his Father. Right? Father, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. What did he pray in the garden? Not my will, but thine be done. This isn't talking about an inferiority or a non-equality. That's not what this is talking about. This verse is talking about headship and authority. The man is supposed to be under the authority of Christ, just like Jesus was under the authority of God while he was here on this earth. Just like the woman is supposed to be under the headship or the authority of the man. Just like the man is supposed to be under the authority of Christ, who's under the authority of God. How is a man, now don't miss this, how is the man under the headship or the authority of Christ? Many people think, and I think this is wrong, well, now that I'm saved, I follow the Lord and believer's baptism, now it's just, you know, they got the Tom T. Hall syndrome. You know, it's me and Jesus. Got our own thing going. Me and Jesus. Got it all worked out. Okay, I know I'm dating it. I know I'm going back to the 70s. When I grew up, I heard Tom T. Hall singing that. Me and Jesus, we don't need anybody to tell us what it's all about. That song is a rebellious song for Christians. It should have no place in the life of any Christian. I remember when that song came out. We don't need a preacher telling us. We don't need any authority. Me and Jesus, we're running the show. No, it's not. He's running the show. That is code for we don't follow authority. Careful, that is not what this is talking about here. How is a man under the headship or the authority of Christ? Listen closely. The only way any man is under the headship or the authority of Christ is by being a member in good standing of the local New Testament Baptist church. You say, how do you know? When I look in the Bible, I find that the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of His body, the church. I find that in Ephesians chapter 1. And hath given and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Colossians chapter 1 verse 24. It says here, to fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. Jesus is the head, not of the universal Catholic church. There is no such thing as an invisible, mystical body. There never has been. There is, when God's talking about the church, over 160 times in your New Testament, it is about the local New Testament Baptist church. It is never an invisible body. Never. He is the head of Gospel Light Baptist Church. He is the chief shepherd of Gospel Light Baptist Church. As the pastor, I am his under shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. He is the head. He is the authority of the church. The only way a man can be under the headship of Christ is by being a member in good standing of a local New Testament Baptist church. That's it. It's not them running their own thing. It's not them doing what, well, all I need is the Bible. No, God didn't design us that way. God designed us to be under authority. This message, yes, I'm starting on authority, but it will affect every area of the family. It'll affect the wife. It affects the children. It affects how we view work. It'll affect, it is authority. When someone chooses to be a member of Gospel Light Baptist Church, he is only under the headship of Christ as he is under the headship of the local church. Jesus is the chief shepherd. The pastor is the under shepherd. The pastor leads the church. He doesn't lord over it. It's not a dictatorship. He leads with benevolence, and it's not a... He doesn't make the members do anything, but he is the one that's responsible for everything. He is the under-shepherd under the chief shepherd, right? Under the head of the body. I'll just say it again. Let me rephrase it in a different way. The only way a man is under the headship of Christ is when he's following the headship of the under-shepherd who is following the headship of the authority of the chief shepherd. Okay? I've said it now three different ways, and I hope you got it. All right? Paul say, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ"? In Hebrews 13:7, didn't God say, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow"? Considering the end of their conversation. Let me just remind you of something. You can look at it later, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Do you remember there was a man in the church? You read it yourself and you tell me what you come up with. There was a man in the church who was being immoral. He said, even the Gentiles aren't doing what this guy is doing. It was a man who was sleeping with his mother-in-law. It was gross. You could call it incest, but it was nasty. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, get him out of the church. When he said, get him out of the church, what is the next verse? It says, turn him over to Satan for what? The destruction of the flesh. So let me get this straight. When you're in the local New Testament Baptist church, when you are in the hedge, Satan can't get at you. Paul gave the instruction in 1 Corinthians 5, kick him out of the church so Satan has access to him. I don't think I'm twisting Scripture. As a matter of fact, I know I'm not. I'm tying things together. When a man is under in good standing, a member of good standing of a local New Testament Baptist church, he is in the hedge. He is in the Satan can't get to him. You mean, as long as a man is under the headship of the church, he's protected from Satan? Yes. Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates or the authorities of hell shall not prevail against it." If you stay in the local New Testament church long enough, there's going to be times you're going to find stuff that rubs you the wrong way. But if it's not a doctrinal deviation, for crying out loud, stay in the hedge. Stay in the hedge. Well, yeah, but they did something. They got blue carpet. I can't stand blue. Stay in the hedge. We're going to repaint the auditorium. We're going to put light tan up here. We're going to put dark tan on there. I can't stand the paint. Stay in the hedge. It ain't worth it. Stay in the hedge. Well, I'll just leave. Where are you going to go? Now, you know what would kill me? I would hate to know somebody's coming to Gospel Light Baptist Church because there ain't any better place. What do you come here for?
Well, because there's nothing better.
Well, and I've heard pastors say that. I would never say that about Gospel Light Baptist Church. I would never say,
my people aren't going anywhere. They don't have anywhere else to go.
What a stupid statement. I hope you're here because you feel God wants you here. You understand? But if you stay here long enough, because we're people and we're sinners, there's going to be things that rub you the wrong way that what's this doing and how come we're doing this and how come stay in the hedge. If we're not deviating doctrinally, praise God. Tonight we observe the blood. Tonight we observe the body of the Savior. Tonight we're lifting up the Word of God. And if we're not deviating doctrinally, stay in the hedge. Stay in the hedge. Don't let feelings get wrapped up. You say, I'll apply this here in just a minute. I enjoy it when someone says, "Pastor, I have some questions I'd like to ask you. Can I meet with you?" I love those. Then I can sit down and I can say this. Sometimes I'll say, you know, I didn't know that was going on. I'll look into that. I didn't know that. I'll get on that. Sometimes I'll say, nothing we can do about that. That's the way we do things around here, and there's nothing, you know, that we're not deviating from Scripture. That's just the way we do things, and we're not changing it. Sometimes I can say, hey, we'll look at it, but I at least appreciate good questions, amen, rather than bickering. You understand? When you take the problem to someone who can't solve it, you're gossiping. You're causing division. You're sending out accusations that aren't true. You're not checking it with the source. Be careful about that. Be careful about that. I like answering questions. And if I can, I'll even ask afterwards, you know, do I need to, do I need to meet with your wife, or, you know, can I help anything? Look, I may get a burr under my saddle now and then. You may get a burr under your saddle now and then, but I'm going to stay under the headship of the local New Testament Baptist Church. I'll just follow the under-shepherd who's following Christ. I hope you can say at Gospel Light Baptist Church, this isn't me promoting, I loved being in the pew where I could look at my preacher and say, you know what? I enjoy my church. We stick by the Bible. We go soul winning. We're seeing people saved. We're doing what we can. Glory to God. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm here. It's not
my man of God is flawless.
I've never said that. I've never said that.
My man of God never does anything wrong.
I've never said that. I'm not stupid. My man of God can make mistakes. He can make mistakes. He's human. He's not flawless. Our problem is in America. When I read 1 Corinthians 11, 3 through 4, and I understand who the serpent is, and I understand the hedge, I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Our problem is in America, we're leading from the bottom up. The kids are running the parents. The wives are putting their children before their husband. Ask any woman that's not in church, and they'll tell you, oh, my kids come first. You're going to have your husband along, and you're going to have the kids. Your husband comes before the children. The kids aren't supposed to run the roost. They're not supposed to run the house. In America, everything is being led from the bottom up, not in the order that God gave it. Women are running the home. Men are running the show without Christ. Men are running the pastor. This is totally in reverse of how God designed it. Our country is a mess. I don't think anybody would argue with that. When you read Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, it says, and there was the morning and the evening, and it was the first day. And it was the morning and the evening, it was the second day. It was the morning and the evening, it was the third day. You know what you find from Genesis chapter 1? You find order, structure, schedule, routine. Order, structure, schedule, routine. That's how you get things done for God. Order, structure, schedule, routine. It's never, well, we're just doing our own thing. It's never that way. Order, structure, schedule, routine. Order, structure, schedule, routine. That's how you get things done for God. That's how God works. We're supposed to follow the Lord. He will always lead in an order, a structure, a schedule, and a routine. He always leads that way. He's never, you know, I'm just feeling the Spirit. That's garbage. That's code for, I'm doing what I want to do. Well, I didn't feel like I should follow your schedule, for crying out loud. Follow your schedule. Order, you find that in the Bible. Order, structure, schedule, routine. That's God's way of leadership. That's God's way. You serve God by getting behind the pastor and saying, let's do something for God. That's how you do it. Especially in the church, authorities are God-given. God gives us authorities for our protection. Here we go. I think I had you turn to Job. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 8. 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 8. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. These verses do not go over well in society. I think they're verses that you ought to have, and you ought to mark them, and you ought to know them. Watch this. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Look at verse 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power or authority or headship on her head because of the angels. What is that verse saying? It is good for a wife, it is good for a woman to have an authority over her because of the bad angels, not the good ones. You will find, I think God gives angels to believers, amen. Ministering spirits, doesn't it talk about that? I don't have a problem with good angels. This isn't talking about good angels. For this cause, a woman is supposed to have power or authority over her because of demon deception. That's why it's always good for a lady to say, Let me ask my dad. Let me ask my husband. Let me ask the pastor. Why? Because of the angels, demons, the bad ones. All right? Authority is given to us by God to protect us, never to hurt us. Never to hurt us. Stay in the hedge. Stay in the hedge. When I find, now I'm going to reference Job chapter 1. Just listen closely because we're almost done. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, listen, all that he hath is in thy power. In one moment, God could give all that Job had to Satan. That tells me this. I said it this morning. I don't own nothing. I don't own anything. It's all God's. If God could give it all to Satan in one flash, then it all belongs to God. My house belongs to God. My money belongs to God. My kids belong to God. I don't own anything. I'm just a steward. That's all I am. All that he hath is thine. God gave it to him in a moment. The moment God lifted the hedge, the moment Job heard footsteps walking, four sets, your sheep have been destroyed. Your children have been killed. Your camels have been killed. At the moment the hedge was lifted, blam, Satan hit. Satan didn't waste any time.
Well, good, now the hedge is lifted. I'll just get him first thing in the morning.
He headed right to him. Just as God lifted it, he was in. When we in our pride take ourselves out of the authority of the church, we give Satan full access. Whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. The serpent, surely the serpent, verse 11, will bite without enchantment. As a young person, let me apply this now to a teenager. As a young person grows up in their pride, they start saying, I'm sick of the rules. Stay in the hedge. Stay in the hedge. I've never seen a teenager turn out right that said, you know, I'm just sick of the rules, sick of mom and dad. I think I'll just go ahead and run the show. They wreck their life. Satan bites them. The serpent, it hits. The moment they get out from underneath the hedge, I think we'll just run away. Any talk like that isn't just, well, you're just a teenager going through a phase. Any teenager that's satanic. Do you understand? That's Satan trying to say, come on out from underneath that hedge so I can get at you. I can't touch you while you're under the authority that God put in your life. But come on out of here. You're sick of the rules, aren't you? You don't like people telling you what to do? Come on. Come on. If whoso break the hedge, the serpent shall bite. Stay in the hedge. Let me apply it this way. The rebellion, humanism in our hearts, pulls us in a totally opposite direction to God's Word. The rebellious disobedience that we're hearing about today is bizarre, creepy, and it's satanic. How does a grandchild kill his own grandparents? Shoots his grandpa three times in the chest with a .22, and as his grandma's running out the front door, he shoots her four times in the back with a .22 and kills her. How does a kid do that? That's bizarre. It's disturbing. It's how could you do that to your grandparents? It's satanic. You remove the hedge. Stay in the hedge or the serpent bites. The serpent will bite. Don't lift the hedge. Stay in it. Men, stay under the headship of the local, of the under-shepherd as he follows Christ. Ladies, back your husbands. Children, love and obey and honor your parents. Stay in the hedge. Any of these talk. How does a woman, 40 years old, leave her three kids and her husband at 20 years for a teenager, 18? That's bizarre. It's satanic. She left the hedge. Well, this one is just, you hear people talk and the deception that Satan has put in their mind and they stir it over and over again. Stay in the hedge. Stay in the hedge. Whoso breaketh the hedge, the serpent shall bite. They're get bit by Satan. Satan has access now and he can destroy everything. If you get out of the hedge, the serpent will bite. Please, stay in the hedge. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that please you could use the truth tonight. Please, strengthen thy people. And I pray that you would help us heed the warning to stay in the protection and the authority and the headship that you've given us. Every man, every woman, every child, please help us, Lord, to continue and to stay faithful and to not grow weary in well-doing. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, we invite you to come to the front. We can take the Bible and show you how simple it is to go to heaven. It's wonderfully simple. Christian, Satan tempts all of us to get out of the hedge. Stay in the hedge. Stay in the authority and the headship God has given for your protection and for mine. The piano's going to play. Let's all stand. The altar's open. Stay in the hedge.